It's
she was wearing glasses. They were gone. All the people around her just like fled the scene. Oh my goodness.
It should have been the NBA's only commercial for years.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess. We are back a day early because what would I be if not for inconsistent in planning? We are recording this on December 7th, Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time. It's us. It's Jared, Joe, Will. I wanted to start with the hottest question of all. Is Enes Kanter a member of the state? Is he working for the CIA?
It's Enes Freedom, first of all.
Is Enes Freedom a state operative?
We would like to officially apologize for dead naming Enes Freedom on a Full Court Mess. My vote's 100% yes. Now that he's done like the pictures with Hillary and he's getting endorsed by what was due today, like Guaido or something. I'm all on board of Enes is CIA.
Okay. We don't need to go into the details of that.
We probably should. His attack of Jeremy Lin was very strange.
Let me pull it up.
Ranted against Jeremy Lin for accepting Chinese money, like, because he's playing in the Chinese basketball league.
Well, hold on. So here's the tweet. I'll just read it.
Yeah.
Shame on you, @Jalen7. Haven't you had enough of that dirty Chinese Communist Party money feeding you to stay silent? How disgusting of you to turn your back against your country and your people. Stand with Taiwan. Stop bowing to money and the dictatorship. Morals over money, brother. First of all, Jeremy Lin's from Palo Alto.
Yeah. he's betrayed
a California boy.
He's betrayed the great state of California with his actions this year. Very fascinating, very, very telling that of if his problem is just people playing basketball in China, that he had all those options and he chose Jeremy.
Right, that's like the one that he knows.
Yeah, or just like, what, like, I don't, it's just classic stuff like, oh, because he's of Taiwanese descent, like, and, this is his problem, but it, like, go at Jim or Fredette if you're that mad about it, man. Like,
yeah, or like Lance Stevenson. Like, there's plenty of dudes.
Wouldn't dare go after Jimmer.
How dare Jeremy Lin provide, service in exchange for money.
If he went after Jimmer, the Mormons would go crazy.
Like, he knows that.
He knows he can talk shit about LeBron. He knows he can talk shit about Jeremy Lin, but
he knows Mormons got shooters.
their shooters are Jimmer from Dread.
Lethal.
He would lose Mitt Romney's support 100%.
Yeah, what?
It would all go downhill from there.
How many times has he been on Fox News now? Like, a few times
at least, right?
Yeah, I remember the quotes where he was like, Americans need to stop complaining about their country. It's the best in the world, and they need to stop pretending like they don't have it better than everybody else. I'm like, this guy is,
it started with, like, the Nike thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I think there are really good intentions there, like, obviously, of whole, like, Nike uses sweatshops and that's bad and all that, like, sure, but like, and then now he's like, I'm gonna educate LeBron. LeBron has like 18 shoes through Nike. You don't think at some point someone was like, hey man, you ever think about this?
Well, it's also like,
you're gonna be the one to stop, to be like, convince him to be like, nah, I'm gonna go do something else.
It's just like, one, it's like that, I already remember the LeBron quote where they asked him about it, and he was like, he passed me in the tunnel, like, after the game. If he had something to say, he had a chance to say it to me, and he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And also,
yeah, now he's like, I'll sit down with him. Like, now Ennis is like, I think we can do that.
I would disagree slightly. I think that I don't think Ennis has ever had good intentions. I think, like, he's hiding what he's doing behind things that are like a decent thing to point out. Like, yeah, like Nike sucks. They use like slave labor. Like, that's absolutely true. And they're horrible, but I don't think he's ever had good intentions. If like, as soon as you're like, you've come up on Tucker Carlson for the third time, I don't think he's getting used. I think he's doing this on purpose.
He's staying relevant. First of all,
That's the confusing part to me is, yeah, did he like sit down this offseason and decide to do this?
I don't. I mean, there's always been the whole thing with him and like the Turkish government.
Yeah.
Because like the Turkish dictator like actually wants him dead.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's like a whole other thing. But
now, yeah, on the American citizenship into like.
Yeah.
We're the greatest country in the world, kind of.
Hold on. There's a tweet for that too. Oh, the sirens are coming. You'll hear that.
You better not talk shit about them, or you're gonna get locked up.
It's freedom time. I'm sure we can link to this. From @StopItG, said Ennis Kanter got his U.S. citizenship and immediately started harassing minorities.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, just like it's telling you after Jeremy Lin, like, it's telling he, like, started with LeBron. He's using the exact same, like, talking points that, like, every alt-right person has on LeBron James. Like, oh, you pretend to be woke, but actually you wear Nike shoes. It's like, everyone, like, I don't root for LeBron's teams much on the court. And I think he's corny as hell. Anyone who has like legit beef with him, they can like off the court, they can shut up until they open a public school.
For
kids who need it. Like, no one in the league has essentially touched an act that is on that level. And so Ennis, he's a multimillionaire. Go do something.
Also, like, yeah, Ennis complaining about the Nike shoe thing is also like tweeting from his iPhone.
Right.
Yeah, it's. I mean, and that, you know, like, we could say that about anything. But it's what we have, so
very hard.
Nike's what people have.
Avoid doing what you're accusing everyone else of doing.
Yeah,
there are better ways to go about.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's like it's absolutely fine to raise like the issue because Nike is horrible, but it just doesn't really make any sense to attack LeBron over it.
Mm-hmm.
You could even try to convince him to join you if it was in a good faith way, which, like I said, I don't think Ennis has ever been operating in good faith. But like, go attack Nike all you want. There's not really any point to attacking LeBron. What, the you wanted him to turn down $1 billion?
Yeah, well, you want him to turn down the money that he's using to like open schools, and
they just didn't offer it to you. Like, you're like, don't pretend like you would have done anything different. Like. You just never had the chance.
Also, the shoes that Ennis is wearing and posting, like, they're like these vulcanized, like, I feel like vulcanized shoes wouldn't be that great to play basketball in anymore, but they're ugly.
They have LeBron dripping in blood on them. They're psycho shit.
They're like psycho NFT shoes.
Yes.
And NFT shoes are already like psycho.
I don't even know what you're referring to. I'm gonna have to do some research.
Oh, just go on his Twitter.
Oh yeah, he's been posting the shoes.
With these two.
Also, I would be remiss not to to leave out an excellent tweet from the Godfather of the Pod, Adam Davis, where someone said, "Has anyone noticed that all these people?" That Cantor's not getting told to shut up and dribble. To which Adam correctly quote tweeted and said, "We literally don't want him to dribble." Like, yeah. No one's saying that because we don't want it. Don't shut up and dribble.
Yeah, these also, shoes are they're bad, right?
Yeah, no, it's like it's every like he's like he's full on like Fox News guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's also got nearly 600,000 followers on Twitter, which I'm sure is double what he had 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean,
like, yeah, he's not. He knows what he's doing.
The fact that this started with us having to like that, people who don't follow the NBA were like idiot journalists were like, is he getting punished by losing playing time for speaking out against China? It's like, bro, he stinks. This is an irrelevant.
He hasn't lost playing time. He lost playing time like when he was on the Thunder. Star
player.
Like, it's been a while.
Even at his peak, he was like a serviceable fourth option big man on a team. Maybe. And he
came into this year as a third string center that none of the fans even wanted on their team. They were mad that he got signed.
His peak was like 6 years ago.
His peak also involved him getting a famous clip where it said he's we can't play Cantor coming from his own coach in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dude reeks. It's the fact that we've had to even pretend like any of this is like halfway legitimate is so fucking annoying.
One last thing worth noting about Ennis is this tweet from Steve Merkel 9. Pedophiles are using the phrase "Thank you, Ennis" to identify themselves online. Please be aware the next time you see this.
Keep an eye out, folks.
Keep an eye out. Be careful.
Report
last
them.
One on it. Is Ennis on a team next year?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, he'll be on the Magic with like with Isaac.
I think he becomes too much of a headache by the end of the year, if not sooner. And teams don't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
And then he'll use that to his advantage and say, "See, I'm like Colin Kaepernick. I can't get a job."
Yeah.
He's absolutely. Oh,
I can see into the future.
Oh man.
So I talked about it before we went live on the podcast, but we're doing some Joe's Card Corner here on this episode. I've got a box of basketball cards near me, and I don't have an Enes Kanter card. I stopped collecting cards avidly before he came into the league, but I wanted to display a card of a real American hero. That's our friend of the pod, Rasheed Wallace.
Hell yeah.
We for the pod, you gotta describe this in full detail.
Yeah.
For those listening.
From the Flair brand. These are very nice cards. I was a big fan of this set. You got a nice like kind of profile shot in the background in a little sepia tone. And then a nice action shot in the foreground, tasteful font, copper inlay font, very nice sheen to the card. This is the 02-03 Fleer NBA cards, but Flair was the brand there. Yeah, very nice set. I remember another card I got in this set was a Carlos Boozer rookie card, serial numbered out of 25, which is pretty rare, but also probably worthless at this moment in time. I cherished that card because I knew, I was like, "Ooh, look at that serial number. This is going to be worth a lot of money." And then the shoe shine hairdo happened and the rest is history.
Not a rookie card, but I would pay at least, I can comfortably say, if I happened upon it in a store, I'd pay $70 for a basketball card of Boozer punching that ref in the nuts.
That should be made an NFT.
That's one NFT I'd consider.
Yeah, like what's the Top Shot or whatever? NBA highlight version of that.
That one and that video where it's got a that old Vine with Terrence Ross just blasting that woman in the stands with the ball.
Yeah.
It faded into the air. Amazing happens when he's walking off.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that was two clips spliced together.
Yeah, yeah, so, I think so.
Clip is Terrence Ross, like, shooting a full court shot, and then he kind of misses and kind of reacts like that, like, ooh, ooh. And then they cut, it was a Hornets game, lady looking down at her phone, pass goes overthrown, ball directly to the face, and they just kept, they showed the slow motion replay like four times in the arena and on broadcast. It makes me laugh every single time.
It's
she was wearing glasses. They were gone. All the people around her just like fled the scene. Oh my goodness.
It should have been the NBA's only commercial for years.
That wear amazing hat. Like,
when they gray it out and do the wear amazing happens, yeah, Jared, it's just perfection.
Also, I gotta say, Carlos Boozer probably has my favorite ugly shooting form of all time. Where his hands are like next to his head.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Almost not quite Kid Gilchrist levels, but
Kid Gilchrist is great because he's here.
Yeah, Gilchrist is like sideways.
Both arms on the same side.
Oh, who are we talking about?
Oh,
boy.
Kid Gilchrist?
Is that what we're talking about?
One of my all-time worst takes is that I desperately, and it wasn't even actually possible because the Bobcats picked second and the Wizards picked third in this draft. But I desperately wanted the Wizards to get Michael Kidd-Gilchrist after seeing him at Kentucky. And I was pissed that we got Bradley Beal instead.
Beal was kind of a reach too in that draft, or slightly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I think it was like it was AD first, right, and then Kidd Gilchrist, and then I think after that it was like any of these next five or six guys could go here, and Beal could have, but wasn't really.
Yeah, it's not like you like, slammed on
like,
third.
They've got John Wall. They're set with guards, kind of like I don't know. That was kind of the thought. I remember that draft a little bit. Like AD was like obviously going to go one. Kidd Gilchrist was probably two, and then after that it was wide open.
But the Bobcats really had the worst record of all time and got Michael Kidd Gilchrist for their troubles. And I was certain he was going to be awesome.
Who are some other... Oh, go ahead. Keep talking to KG, please.
I didn't even care that he couldn't play offense. That he was so stupidly good at defense at Kentucky, I was like, he's worth it. He's absolutely worth it.
You did the Bill Simmons like fist pump when they got James Young, the Celtics.
Absolutely,
that's an NFT as well. I want that one to be because he was there as a broadcaster, like supposed to be unbiased. When the Celtics announced the pick, they cut right to him as he fist pumps, all excited, and then kind of just went like right into the camera.
And for James Young.
And for James Young, that's the best.
That's a good alternate one. I have tons of occasions where I've been like upset with my team's picks, and then like they turned out to be good. I'm trying to think of a time where I was like psyched. What's the time y'all were psyched with your team's pick, and it was just like it was a James Young level signing.
The Bucks have had a lot of James Young level signings, and I would draftings, and I would always rationalize that like they'll be all right, they'll be good, like they could be good. Like Joe Alexander comes to mind of like well, he's crazy athletic, like he could be good. It's a little reach, but whatever. And he was awful. I mean, like Rashad Vaughn was another one where I was like, oh, he's the best shooter in the whole draft. He'll be all right. And he was out of the league in 3 years, if that. He was horrible. I mean, I was super excited about Jabari Parker, and he lived up for a couple years or, like, showed enough promise where it was like, this could be the real deal. And, like, him and Giannis, you know, the two, like, cornerstones, and that didn't really end up working out, obviously. But I'm trying to think back. I was pretty excited about Thon Maker when he got picked. I thought it was supposed to be a big swing, but like worth it, like worth a shot, because at the time, basically up until like 2 or 3 years, if that, the Bucks had to take big swings on guys because they had to stay. Like we couldn't draft a guy like I don't even know if we had a chance to draft him, but like say like Devin Booker or something, like. He was going to want to play in a bigger market, or like, you know, That was just the first name that comes to mind. I guess he's in Phoenix, which isn't like the biggest market in the world, but there were certain guys I knew the Bucks shouldn't draft because they would want to play somewhere else than Milwaukee as soon as their rookie contract was up. Like, you just knew. So like, taking a swing on a guy like Giannis, who was this young kid from Greece, like, yeah, if he pans out even a little bit, we could re-sign him. Like, it was that kind of thing where not everybody's at your disposal. Like, even if you have the first overall pick, it was like, okay, well, who can we take and who's going to stay? Who can we convince to stay in Milwaukee? And that was a big sell for a long time. And now it's less of a sell, obviously, because of Giannis and Middleton and Drew and everybody.
I would say, like, technically not drafted by the Warriors, but was traded shortly after being drafted, was Jordan Bell.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Because I was like, he was pretty good. And also, like, at that time, like, anyone that the Warriors were going for, like, is pretty safe to assume that that they were going to be good. And then, yeah, I mean, we saw what happened. he plays for their G League now.
That was the that's right during one of my favorite phenomena of all time, where it used to be the Spurs before the incredible Warriors teams happened, and then it became the Warriors, where basically no matter who they picked, everybody get mad that we had allowed them to acquire them, and it led to
don't let the Warriors get him.
I can't believe we let the Warriors draft Jacob Evans discourse.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's about to happen again too.
It was
as far as like free agent signings and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like,
if the Warriors are taking him, he must be good, and we missed something. He's got to be good. Like, it became that.
It was like, because remember, I'm the one.
Oh, he's going to get to develop with Stephen Clay. That's not even fair. Like, insert any name.
The first ones I remember were people did it with Kyle Anderson when he went to the Spurs. And Kyle Anderson's a decent NBA player, but it's so funny to look back and be like, God damn it, we let the Spurs get Kyle Anderson, and like the next year, Kawhi left.
they've
been ass ever since then.
I think that whole phenomenon is about to happen again with how like Gary Payton, Young Love has been, because like he's been bounced around the league, he's been in and out of the G League, and same with
former
like
Bucks legend.
Yep, and same with like Otto Porter Jr. is like balling out now.
Okay,
and so the same thing's about to happen again, or like Jordan Poole too, like the way he's developed.
I had to do coaching too.
That's the biggest thing, is like finding the right fit on the team. And Steve Kerr and his staff are really good at that. And they're not just gonna like plug you into your system. They're gonna adapt to the players they have. Yeah. That's how Bill Belichick in the NFL is such a great coach. His teams are different every year, and he changes things up every year based on who he's got. Last year he had Cam Newton, and they became like a running QB team all of a sudden, like for a year, and they were not bad.
Yeah.
Anyway,
sorry. I mean, that's the thing.
This
with,
is
like,
not a football podcast. I apologize.
That's the thing with Gary Payton, though, is like he's like 29, so it's not a matter of like growth so much as a player. It's like, well, the Warriors have figured out like, well, he just goes in and he plays defense and he hustles, and that's like literally all we need to ask of him.
And that
we can't make him do something he's not great at. Just let him do what he does.
And that can take some guys like years to figure out, like grinding in the G League. Like, oh, I guess I'm not going to be a star point guard. I better figure out another way to find a place, because I'm not going to be the starting point guard for anybody. So I better figure out something else I can do on the team.
And
some guys never figure it out.
Yeah, and obviously, like with everything else, the Warriors have the guy who's is the best or second best player in my lifetime for making others around him look great, for making their lives easy. Like it's anybody with Steph is like watching people with LeBron, where they're like, "Oh God, I can't believe we let LeBron get Mike Miller." And you're like, you would never say that if he went to any other team. And it's the same with Steph, like. The amount that Steph does and the amount that he stresses teams out, you're everyone loses like two facets of their jobs. Like if you're an NBA player, you got four jobs when you go out there. When you play with Steph, you only have two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, there we go. Yes.
Wow. Yes. Wow. Oh. You got the Mike Miller card too.
He's got fresh faced Mike Miller. Mike
yeah, Miller. That's young. That's
Mike wow. Miller rookie card. Absurd.
Wow.
Wait, is he number 50? Do him and Cole Anthony have the same number?
Possible. It looks like it. I don't know if is just like a draft day, picture day jersey.
Following in his footsteps.
Man, he yeah. looks like a child.
I got a whole set of these cards in like a box when I was young. So I have a bunch of really fun rookies in that set. We've got Stromile Swift.
Oh, absolutely.
We've got Deshaun Stevenson.
Okay. Okay.
LeBron's greatest rival.
Quentin Richardson.
Ooh.
Oh, very good. Loved him in NBA Live 05.
Dunk champion and Bucks legend Desmond Mason.
Ooh.
Sonics.
Mm-hmm.
We got, check out the spelling of the first name here. Hidayet Turkoglu, before he abbreviated to Haydu.
Okay.
We talked about him last episode. Throwback.
Enemy of Ennis Freedom.
Yes.
We got number one overall pick, Kenyon Martin Sr., rookie. Mm.
I love this is like a rookie card for like what's famously known as the worst draft.
And then, the best one in the whole set, that's Joel Prisbilla right there.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
So my brother also got a box of these cards, and he offered me Michael Redd, rookie. He was drafted in the second round of this draft for Joel Prisbilla, and I said no.
Absolutely not. Michael Redd was not an integral member of the 2009 2K Blazers team like Joel Prisbilla was.
That's right.
I was nailing those five-footers with him coming off the bench, baby. Down the baseline, animal. Rudy Fernandez.
I thought he was going to be amazing, Joel Prisbilla. And he was.
And he was.
Okay. And he was.
I had to actually check because I did a quick scan in my head of I was like to have a James Young moment, you have to be excited about your pick. And I could only remember off the top of my head one Wizards draft pick I've been excited about in my life. And so I double checked to make sure there weren't ones I was forgetting. I was correct. I've only ever been excited about John Wall. It went mostly well, obviously. Yeah. It didn't end great, but I mean, we got like five All-Star years. He fulfilled what he was supposed to. But
John Wall was awesome.
Here are who we, and you got to understand, I was 6 years old when the Washington Wizards drafted Kwame Brown first overall, so I never trusted them in my life. But this is the first. I'll just do the first round picks. Here's who I've been treated.
Did you have a Michael Jordan Wizards jersey? Ever?
No.
Did you want one?
No. Thankfully, my father, who loved Michael Jordan, did not very much acknowledge his time with the Wizards, which is also, and my dad is a Wizards fan, but it is also the pretty much the official stance of what I would consider to be real Wizards fans is that we don't acknowledge Michael's time there. That's Michael,
Wizards All-Star starter Michael Jordan.
Michael went to my school.
Only because Vince Carter let him take his spot after a ton of media pressure.
That's Tar Heel love, baby. He went to my school, and he went on to be the GOAT in Chicago. He did not play for my favorite team, as far as I'm concerned. But here's who I've been treated to as first-round picks. Kwame in 01. 2002, we had two first-round picks. We got Jared Jeffries and Juan Dixon. Then the next year,
love
we got
Juan Dixon. I love Juan that Dixon. That Maryland team was amazing. Steve Blake and Juan Dixon, and like Chris Wilcox, Lonnie Baxter. Yeah,
even better.
I don't know why I remember that so vividly. I think that was the first March Madness tournament I paid attention to as a kid, and it was like Gary I was Maryland all the way.
Yeah, Next year, we drafted Jarvis Hayes, 10th overall. Also, funny enough, that year, that next year, we also drafted Steve Blake in the second round. I did not know that he started his career in Washington.
No first round pick
the next year in the which is it was the number five pick, and you're saying, oh, I wonder why they traded that pick. They traded it for Randy Foy and Mike Miller, straight up.
Oh,
they didn't get
the Mike Miller card out again.
They didn't get a pick back. They traded the number five overall pick for Randy Foy and Mike Miller, straight up.
That's unheard of. Like if a team did that today, the GM would be fired.
Yeah, like on the spot. Yeah.
Valuable right now. Like,
yeah.
Don't worry. The guy who did it for who was the GM for the Wizards kept his job for 15 years. After that. he kept it for a good 15 after that. Our next first round pick was in 2006. It was Oleksiy Pechorov. Then next year, Nick Young. Then the year after that, JaVale McGee.
Two winners in a row.
Then we got John Wall 2 years after that, the only first round pick I've ever been excited about for the Wizards. The year after that, we doubled down and got Jan Vesely and Chris Singleton. Then Bradley Beal, who has been excellent and well worth the pick. I just wasn't excited about it at the time because I'm an idiot. Otto Porter the year after that, I also wasn't excited, but he kind of proved me wrong. He became an incredible shooter and then immediately got a huge contract and got hurt all the time. Then no first round picks after 2013 until 2018, which is an incredible run for a team that wasn't winning anything. Then we took Troy Brown instead of we had the year where we flipped Jerry and Grant for Kelly Oubre. And then we took Troy Brown instead of Robert Williams. Then we took Rui. Then we took Denny Avdija. Yeah. And then we took Corey Kispert. I've not been excited about a single pick except for John Wall in 20 years.
That's pretty valid.
The Bucks have a pretty similar record of picks, save for Giannis. And like Jabari is one of the best picks we ever made. With how his career panned out entirely. It's one of the best picks we've had in the last 20 years. Like Giannis is up here and all the rest of them are like here. And a lot of them are awful, awful. I do remember being excited about one second round pick more than, like, not a lot, but like enough where I was like, he could be really good. And that was Johnny O'Brien. Because I saw him play for LSU and they beat Kentucky the one time I watched him. I was like, this guy's good.
Hey, and he carved out a career.
Is he on a team now? He's bounced around. I think he's in the G League still, but
okay.
He came back for a second stint with the Bucks, like in the summer league, and maybe started the preseason, and then got cut right away.
He appears to now be playing in Turkey.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's probably great over there.
My second favorite Wizards pick of all time for a good in a similar way here, Joe. Is Tomas Satoransky, who I will love forever. I adore Tomas. He was picked by the Wizards, the pick before Draymond Green got selected. And, you know, some of it's like, yeah, everybody passed on Draymond once, yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, that's my second favorite pick we've ever had. Got picked the pick before Draymond Green.
I mean, yeah, that still kind of stings.
I believe it was when we picked Vesely, Flip Saunders, all he wanted was Klay Thompson, and he was overruled by the ownership and Ernie Grunfeld.
Wow,
you gotta pick him.
It's he was the Czech Blake Griffin.
Can't coach height. Can't teach it.
Speaking of draft picks, there's an upcoming high prospect. You hear about this stuff with Duke's Paolo Banchero?
Yeah.
Who reportedly sweats out. He loses 7 pounds a game from sweating. This is a real thing reported by ESPN's Holly Rowe, that he is a heavy sweater and can lose up to 7 pounds every game as a result. Reportedly, he has to take a sweat test and drink a special oxygenated fluid to stave off cramps. Like, he drinks this fluid that, like, as soon as it hits your mouth, it's absorbed.
I was wondering why he had so many cramps.
Yeah, that's why.
Like they've afflicted him in, like, most of his games at some point. And mm-hmm. he doesn't look out of shape.
Yeah.
I thought for apparently Jones he's that Bankero card.
No dice.
From the future.
I do have another post I just saw, speaking of being overweight.
Oh, God.
On the latest Low Post podcast, whoever Zach Lowe's guest was, McMahon, mentioned that Luka Doncic weighs 260 these days, which is a little shocking to Zach Lowe. And then he asked about Zion. And McMahon says he's heard from multiple sources that Zion is coming in at 260 plus 70. He's coming in at 330.
Damn.
That's a big boy.
He needs a different franchise, honestly. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we
said this like a week or two or one of the last episodes is like, that's on the franchise. That's not on him.
This is just an institutional failure. I need him somewhere else because he could still be one of the greats.
more than almost every NFL lineman.
Yeah, no, it's massive.
That's like the size of an offensive lineman at their biggest. Also, like,
it's no wonder his foot is not healing.
Too big for the NFL.
Yeah, it's like, and he's behind on like healing from his foot, like broken foot. It's like, well, yeah, where's all the weight go? You stand on it.
Yeah.
That's not going to help your recovery.
For even more reference, that's 20 pounds over Yao Ming's listed weight.
Wow.
Ming was not like skinny either. Yao Ming was huge.
He's wide. Yeah. And he came in at 310. His listed weight was 310.
Zion's a foot shorter.
Yeah.
A full foot.
That is...
Wow.
That's scary stuff. I thought, Jared, where you were going to go, you went the better direction with the Paolo Vancaro news. I thought you were going to go towards earlier in the year where, this is no shade to him, I don't care at all, but he got charged with a criminal charge or whatever that I've legit never heard of before, where it was like somebody else was drunk driving, but they were drunk driving his car. And so he got charged with like enabling it.
Oh.
And until that exact moment, I didn't know you could do that. It ended in nothing because, of course, not like no one's like getting too mad at the college kid for someone else drunk driving his car. But until that time I didn't know it existed at all.
I didn't know that. That's news to me.
There you go.
I wonder if that's like a state by state thing or something.
Could be. The more importantly,
also,
go ahead.
A very good friend of the show and an occasional guest, Donald, in the chat says a big boy Zion check-in should be a recurring segment. I'm in agreement.
Zion weigh-in.
Do this every other episode, and it's called, we'll call it Big Boy Season.
Big Boy Season.
All right.
Zion,
big
we're
boy
doing
season
this.
Is in effect.
Yes. Okay, here we go. Speaking of Big Boy Season, we got our Vitas Sabonis.
Oh, that is prime Big Boy Season.
Look at the jowl on that man.
Wow. Amazing.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
He was 7'3", 292.
Sheesh.
Wow. Here's a hot one for you guys. From just a random tweet from at Drew M. Smith. Tell me how hot this is. It says, shelf Joel Embiid for the rest of the season. Run a marketing campaign saying, if Ben sits, we all sit. And we'll try again next year.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Who?
Because the Sixers are doing like pretty much fine without him, aren't they? It's not like they're tanking.
I think
they're a playoff team.
They struggled a little bit, but that's because Joel was out from he had COVID. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Joel would never agree to that either.
I would hope none of them would agree to that.
I'm struggling to see who or what it would convince. If anything, it would make it easier for Ben Simmons to keep sitting out because they would have no more argument for withholding his salary.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't hurt him at all. It would just make their fans hate all of them.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, if the league sees you, like, that looks like purposeful, like, tanking.
Yeah.
You're going to get in trouble for that, too.
Sam, you can die for this.
They wouldn't even be, like, playing games at this point, right? He said they're going to sit out all their players.
Yeah, that's the other question I have is it says shelf Joel Embiid for us this season. And then if Ben says, well, you have to play someone.
Yeah. Like
you cannot we all this.
The Sixers are like, no, we just actually personally don't want revenue this year. And we would like to be sanctioned by the league in what would probably be the worst ever sanctions of all time. And they like would be, well, I'm guessing probably forced to sell if they did this.
I'm actually all for it by
the Sixers. Yeah, honestly,
bottom value
for me, it's awesome because I think it would be hilarious and I don't like the Sixers, but I don't see anyone it benefits except for people who don't like them or Ben Simmons.
I mean,
I can see what that guy's affiliation with Enes Kanter Freedom is. I'm curious.
I think this is it'd be a win for the rest of us, as like we probably would see less Philly fan, like Sixer fan tweets.
Yeah, it would be like more like
hyping
like
up their players because they're not playing.
It would be unbearable for like you just mute them all for like 3 weeks and then you come back on and they like just never tweet again. They'd have nothing to talk about.
Sounds pretty good, actually. I like this. I like where this is going.
They would tweet even more. They would say like, I don't know.
I'd be like, remember the Sixers?
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Hold remember on. Oh my god. CJ McCollum has a collapsed lung.
Yes.
Oh,
I did not see that.
You can't do that, CJ.
That broke just a couple hours ago.
Yeah, wow.
The go-to joke for everyone is that's him making sure he doesn't get traded.
Oh. Well.
Collapse my own lung to own the GM.
He also had a quote where he was like, really recently, he's like, I feel like if Dame wanted me traded, he would tell me. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
please blow up this team. This doesn't sound fun for anybody anymore.
Yeah, this... Like, I feel like the Blazers are a team like a lot of us have been rooting for the longest time because like Dame and CJ are such a likable backcourt. And like, I think everyone wants to see Dame succeed and it's not happening. And it's just not going to happen with this. And I also, they are the newest team to be without a coach.
Yes. There are
much like the Kings,
the first coachless, the new first coachless team in the NBA this year.
Yep.
And looking like they'll stay that way for a little while, but good on them for getting rid of their non-existent GM.
That's true. The GM that led to them not having a coach.
Yeah. It was really just fascinating to see like what, just based off of when they did fire the GM, who they did hire as coach, and what they put up with from their front office in the past, it's really interesting to see like where they draw the line, because it basically seems to be just like, oh, please don't do this sort of thing at work.
Yeah,
anywhere else is cool.
Don't do this sort of thing while we're not a top tier playoff team.
Also that.
Yeah.
We need to not be good, and you need to be doing it on your own time.
Yeah. So the president of operations resigned. No, they were fired. They didn't resign. They were fired. Right?
You can't fire me. I resign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they were fired after an ongoing investigation about, what was it? Workplace harassment or something like that?
Yeah. Which, for honestly, if they didn't want to fire him, that was somewhat shocking to me in of itself. You never see these like independent team investigations result in anybody getting punished. They always clear everyone of all wrongdoing. So this man must have been
wilding out. Yeah, because they did the same thing with the non-coach coach, the non I'll just say Chauncey Billups. They investigated Chauncey Billups and they were like, we didn't find anything. And it's like, it did happen. And he said it did happen. It's not like an alleged thing. Like, he sexually assaulted somebody.
Oh,
yeah. And he said, I learned a lot from it.
We didn't find anything new. You were okay with all of this, right? So there's nothing else, probably.
Also, recall, with the Blazers right now, you got to start all the way at the top, because currently their owner is being, she's the one being accused of, severely, sexually harassing, all the, men she employs under her, something like that. She would, bring these guys in and have them have to wear, they were only allowed to wear, underwear around her. And she would just be like harassing the whole time. So it starts there. That's the reason. I'll get the since that seems new to you guys, I'll get the direct allegations.
Yeah, and I'm on an ESPN article about them firing Neil Alshi, the GM.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the quote provided is out of respect for those who candidly participated in the privileged investigation, we will not release or discuss it. We are confident that these changes will help build a more positive and respectful working environment. I feel like in this case, by not mentioning what happened to lead to the firing, you're not you're not going to change the culture issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We fired him. We did. We're not gonna say why. It's like, that's it. Obviously, the Blazers as an organization are a cultural issue. The same way, look at Activision Blizzard. If you've heard of everything going on over there, where it's just top to bottom, cultural, Oh, hello, cat.
We got a fleeing cat.
We got a fleeing cat. Just men's club, sexual harassment everywhere. It's a cultural issue, and it's the same here. But at least, I want to say it's more transparent at Activision Blizzard, but it's only transparent because of the people, who are calling it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, basically, at the end of the day, Neil, she got fired. Because they were already considering firing him in the off season, weirdly let him hire a coach who committed sexual assault and went through all that because they clearly don't care about that. And then we're like, oh, we're not good. And this is an excuse to not pay you the rest of your salary.
Right. Hired a coach who he had some experience as an assistant, right? I think he was with the Clippers for a little bit.
Yeah,
not super experienced.
Yeah, they like had not some a guy
more experienced candidates, but the hiring process was very weird because it seemed very much we want someone new to coaching. It's like, okay, you have Chauncey, you have Becky Hammon, you have a lot. They had a lot of options, and then they went with Chauncey, and Chauncey's like, I don't like these players, which is everything is so weird over there.
And then here's the co-owner. They're owned by Paul and Jody Allen. That's what Jody Allen has been doing. So they have bodyguards. She has bodyguards that work for this that at the time worked for this like security agency that they run. It said mostly former members of elite military units or law enforcement agencies claimed that Jody Allen smuggled animal bones out of Africa and Antarctica. Several said that Jody Allen bought the men skimpy swimsuits and had them model for her, flirted relentlessly with several bodyguards, and punished them all when she was rebuffed. A soldier who left that team said that he and the other Iraq and Afghanistan veterans would say that working for her was worse than being over there.
My God. Yes. I did not know about this. This is
I remember the animal bones now that you say
it. It came out in like 2015, but it blew up a couple of months ago. I forget why, but yeah, they during a deposition in 2012, one of the guys said that he'd rather get shot at than work for her.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'd imagine it just blew up a couple months ago because of this investigation.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Like, you know, making the news. I'm trying to find stuff about Alshay, but ESPN actually hasn't said a ton. Just that he had created a hostile work environment with instances of bullying and intimidation. And that's kind of the extent of that. I don't know. We'll follow this up later. But Blazers are... Yeah, it's like blow it up, like blow the team up, make big trades, rebuild like your whole front office, honestly. Again, I guess.
Yeah, they're stuck. Even in just in purely basketball terms, they're in like just a mire of mediocrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like that mire of mediocrity where like. They don't suck like the Magic have. I mean, or like Detroit, or like they make the playoffs more often than not still, or at least are like on that border. While like, yeah, so they're still like they're not getting the best draft picks because they're not a bottom six team.
They're just at a point where it's like one, they've maxed out how good the current makeup of the team can be. Team's not going to hit a new level. They've hit their peak, and that's even okay. But what they're choosing to do is like kind of the point is they're like choosing to stay mediocre every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the real issue. I don't think teams have to tank to reach a new level in the NBA or something like that.
Yeah, they don't have and we've seen like. Recently teams that have managed to do the quick rebuild, like the Mavericks, I think are a decent example of being like, we can actually right now make changes and not tank for this.
Mm-hmm. And I just think, the Blazers need to have some guts and say like, no, let's actually make changes because the current team's not doing anything else. And it's probably only going to get worse. And so they need to say, okay, let's try a new iteration of this team. I don't even know if they have to trade Dame. I don't see that happening at any point. I don't know if they should, but I just don't see it happening. But clearly, Dame, CJ McCollum, and Yusuf Nurkic are not taking you anywhere further than they already have. Try a new combo.
Yeah. It's too bad because Dame and CJ are so fun together.
Mm-hmm. It was, when they were on fire and they were like going off versus Golden State and just CJ was totally unstoppable and stuff like that. I mean, just an absolute blast to watch. But when your team peaks out and then they're on the decline, it's not generally a very fun time to keep everything as is.
I think there's plenty of GMs in the league too that are fine with putting out a mediocre product on the floor as long as it keeps them their job and.
Yeah.
As long as they look,
it looks like they're trying,
and looks like they're trying. They're not motivated by winning championships. They're motivated by like keeping their job, and so they're not going to hurt their bottom line too much, and they're going to put out a decent product on the court and say all the right things. But I bet close to half the GMs at least in the league are that way.
Well, because for the Blazers, all the GM has to do is say, well, Dame's still here, and he still wants to be. So I'm doing my job.
I mean, Dame might get you to the playoffs every year.
Yeah. So I'm not a championship or bust guy. Like, I think there's, but I mean, I think you have to hit a point where I am a your team should improve guy. Like, I've never said, like, I loved the Wizards, John Wall and Bradley Beal teams when they were at their peak. I loved having them. I didn't want to jet them out because they couldn't win a title. I just wanted them to try to make those teams as good as they could be. This team has been as good as it can be, and it's on the downturn of that now. It needs to try to just be something else.
Right? Yeah. I mean, they did make the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago.
Yeah, they had a good run. It's not like they've been a failure. It's
last year, it was like, okay, we fell off more, and now this year it was just clear, okay, this really isn't going to work.
It's something that needs to be looked at like
at the beginning of the end now. Yeah.
It's just over.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not a championship or bust guy either until you reach a certain amount of time. Mm. We saw the Clippers, like, with CP3, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan, and an on and off really good bench. Like, have years where they struggle in the playoffs and then have years where they made it really far. But in the end, it didn't happen. And the Clippers made the right move of, like, well, let's blow it up. It's time. Like, it's not going to get any better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what the good executives realize is, hey, like, you're always looking to improve. How good can you make this team? And then when that team can't get any better, you go, okay, then it needs to be something different. If it's at that point, yeah, if it's capped out and it can't get any better and it can't win a title, try something else. Like, but yeah, I'm all for putting together good teams. Like, I love the 60-win Hawks. I love the grit and grind Grizzlies. I don't have any problem with those teams. And especially those Grizzlies were a team that tried to improve every year. Like, oh, now let's try this. And I love that. It didn't work out title-wise, but it created some great teams. And that's all good with me. But when it reached the end, it was time for them to go, okay, let's not drag this out too much more. And now they were obviously terrible for a year, but now they have Ja Morant.
I think that type of GM is often afraid to make that big move because it could cost them their job.
Yeah, for sure.
And then if they wait too long to make a move like that, it'll cost them their job anyway. But like, I feel like that's what happened here, minus all the allegations and clear things that happened. The team just, not a big enough move was made in a normal amount of time, so they moved on.
I think
that type of GM that's like money motivated or like bottom line motivated, like, doesn't want to make a move that maybe probably long term could help, but in the short term makes them look bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what moves have the Blazers even made? Like, what, they got Robert Covington? That's like the biggest trade they've made is getting him, and that's not a big trade at all.
They try a new 3-and-D wing every year and act like the biggest move they've made was Yusuf Nurkic, which, fine.
And yeah, and to be fair, he did break his leg in half.
Yeah. But, and then if you want to go back further, the biggest move was they let everyone except Dame from that playoff team they had go. Like, everyone except Dame. They made a new team. It's just, it's been time for that again. But it's like Joe was saying, there's no GM on earth who wants to be the guy or woman who got Dame out of Portland. Like, you'd be hated by everyone in that area for forever.
Or even start fresh with everyone but Dame and it goes horribly. Like, you don't want to be that person either.
The cost is huge. So it's tough, but the team is bunk.
Well, this is a perfect segue to speaking of bad general management. Here's a tweet from @InOutNBA. Let's just go over the issues with this. Seattle should get expansion team with all NBA expandables. And here is their roster. Kemba Walker, Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie Irving, John Wall, Goran Dragic, Eric Gordon, like, immediately, like, we're halfway through and saw, like, there's no big men yet.
Three is the top.
Jamal Crawford, Buddy Hield, Joe Johnson, Ben Simmons, Thad Young, Kevin Love, Marvin Bagley, and Derek Favors.
Several of these guys are on teams currently.
Yes.
Just because they're a little disgruntled doesn't mean they're not on a team.
Yeah, I do love the difference between...
Tired. Some of those guys are not playing because of mental health concerns. Yeah. You can't just insert them on a new team and they'll play now. Like,
yeah, I do love the difference between some of those two. Like, yeah, like Kyrie Irving legit not playing because of vaccination. John Wall, who like mutually has been completely exiled from his team. And then you get into the bench and it's like, or like even just like Buddy Hield. And it's just guy who doesn't love where
Buddy
he's at.
Buddy Hield's been playing. And I think he's probably way happier now that Luke's gone.
It's like, oh, and this guy who's a good contributor to his team but has been rumored to leave in the past.
Yeah. I mean, how has Buddy been doing? Let me check that. Yeah, that's, and also it's a very small team size-wise.
Yeah. No, it would finally stop Ben Simmons from playing point guard though. They'd go at least 8 or 9 deep at point guard. I mean, the rotations they could run would be unbelievable. It would be
the rotations are a little bit wild.
The old the Dragic IT Bledsoe Suns, is that who it was? The triple point guard Suns?
Yeah.
Beautiful team.
And that worked well, didn't it?
I think if you start all point guards, you should be allowed to have like 6 or 7 guys on the floor.
Okay.
Like if every point guard, if you're all point guards and every one of them is below.
Yeah, because we need a size maximum
limit. Yeah, none of them can be taller than 6'3".
Right. Yeah, because Ben is disqualified from this idea.
Yeah.
Barely rolls Draymond out.
Yeah. It leaves John Wall in. It's a John Wall sized point guard and smaller. This might be a stupid question. What? Take the best team in the NBA and have them face a team of, like, I guess it would matter how good the point guards are. 6 on the floor, 6'3" or lower point guards who are fine.
There's like a lot of different ways this could turn out because you have some bigger, like big teams, like the Sixers run pretty big sometimes. Where you have like the Warriors who are very small. Lately. I mean, they have Otto Porter at center.
We're asking the big questions here.
It's one of those things where it's like, obviously it would be an advantage to have 6 guys on the floor, but like, yeah, at what point on, especially on offense, would it be diminishing returns?
Right. Like, so let's say this all point guard team against the Magic, who are all big men plus Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz.
Yeah. Like, I assume it's like, okay, you're like, okay, we'd have 6 guys out on the perimeter and or cutting and stuff like that, but you put them all on the perimeter, there's not even that much space. Like, they wouldn't be standing that far apart from each other. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess, like I said, you'd have a ton of pick and roll. It's probably like, I want someone to answer this for me who knows more about basketball than I do, because I feel like there's an equal chance where they're like, you're an idiot. Of course, they'd win by 100 points. Or they're like, no, what would they do when someone gave the ball to Joel Embiid?
I think a 6 guy, 5-on-6 is tough to defend no matter who you are. Like, having a guy. I mean, I've played like 4-on-3 before, and it's hard to go even half court. It's like impossible to defend if the 4 team is passing well.
Which NBA team, which NBA coach currently runs the best zone defense? I know someone was talking about, I can't remember who it was now. I feel like it might have been like the Hornets, something like that. Somebody was talking about a fun zone defense that they saw.
The Warriors have been doing some zone lately.
You'd clearly have to play zone. You can't play man on when you're a man down.
Yeah, you can't.
So if you took like some of the best zone defense.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this isn't fair because it would really depend on which point guards were out there. It's hard, but it's like if you had who's just like the most average point guard you can think of.
That's tough.
Peak Matthew Dellavedova.
Okay. Nah, nah,
that's
he wasn't.
He was way above average. You're right.
Now I would want to see six delis on the floor at one time.
I do want to see that. They'd be diving all over the place.
That would be nuts.
Hmm.
I can't think of a single average point guard now. I feel like this should be the easiest thing ever.
There's gotta be.
At this rate, I'm just trying to think of point guards for different teams, and I'm struggling.
Jeff Teague.
Yes, let's run with that. Okay. That's a fair one.
Okay.
Jeff Teague. You've got six Jeff Teagues on the floor versus the current
most average center also.
No, I want it versus like legit. I don't care if it's a good team. I'm curious. Like six Jeff Teagues on the floor versus the current Milwaukee Bucks at full health.
I think the Bucks would be better.
They have to, right?
I think so.
Well, especially with Giannis can just hold the ball up. Like, what are they going to
do? Yeah, like.
Because Jeff Teague's like not a big point guard.
It doesn't matter how, I mean, even if you're under 6'3", it doesn't matter what size point guard you are if Giannis is the other one. But like, it shut about it. Like, it would be annoying. It would be a low scoring game because I think it'd just be really freaking annoying to try to score on six dudes. But like,
also,
the Bucks
like,
would have to beat them, right?
I think it'd be, this would also be, yeah, the Bucks would have to beat them. I think this would also be a situation where, like, one of these Jeff Teagues would probably foul out.
Yeah. Oh, but they have another nine Jeff Teagues on the bench.
Okay, so there's a constant rotation.
Yeah, they're
okay.
Just allowed to have six on the floor is the thing.
Okay.
Never-ending Jeff Teagues.
I think the Bucks would win.
Okay. Do you think there's any NBA team that they would beat?
It would be closer with worse teams, at least. Yeah. Maybe.
Like the Thunder without Shea.
I think they could beat a couple bottom tier teams, like the bottom 3 to 5 teams. I think six Jeff Teagues could beat. Like in a 5-game series or something, they'd win in 4 or 5.
Fascinating. This is the most important question to me in the NBA now. This is as important to me as it was when they said
we need to get the sports science guys on this to recreate.
Yeah.
This is equally as important to me as when they asked if the four other Warriors players could form a circle around Steph Curry so that no one could block his shot, or when they said, could you play defense with a gun?
Oh, yeah.
There
check
was
this
a
out.
Saturday Night Live sketch with that. It was an old football player who his nickname was Gun because he carried a gun with him on the field.
Could you guys do you guys know who has the longest winning streak actively right now?
I do.
Is it the Suns still?
No, it's not the Suns because the Warriors beat them in a revenge game.
Yeah. It's Will knows. It's
so
exactly
weird.
What you would assume it is, Joe. It's just think of if it's not the Suns. Which team's the most likely to be on the longest?
Is it the Rockets?
It's the Rockets.
Yeah, I saw they won 5 in a row or 6 in a row, but all
they're
against crappy teams.
6 in a row right now.
Okay.
Which is so funny because they're 7-16.
Yeah.
I believe.
They're not. I don't think they're gonna take the Bobcats record as one fan said last week.
No.
I think as of a couple, I don't know if it's still true, but as of a couple of days ago, I think the second longest winning streak in the NBA was the Spurs.
So the Grizzlies are on a 5 streak right now, too.
Oh, yeah, and the Grizzlies haven't trailed at any point during the 5-game winning streak.
Yeah, nice. And this is without Ja, also.
And they've only been tied one time after 0-0, and it was 2-2 versus Miami. In every other game, they've had the lead the entire time for 5 straight games. That's nuts.
Well,
I think
Let's also get into the game from, so it's on the second, which is a record setting game across the NBA, the biggest.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Biggest points differential. Beating the Thunder without Shai. I think that's worth noting because I think it's like actually a testament to how good Shai is.
Mm.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Even though Memphis was without Ja. 152-79.
The old 73-point win.
How do you lose by only six points less than what you scored?
Jersey number on them. That's insane.
Oh, man.
I got a great take for you.
It wasn't 91, but it was one of his other, or a Meta World Peace number. He wore 71 or something, didn't he?
Here's a tweet for you. This was tweeted at halftime of that game by a Thunder fan. The Grizzlies were up 72-36 at halftime. So doubling them up at the half. A Thunder fan. The Thunder are without SGA, Giddey, Favors, Kenrich Williams, Aaron Wiggins, Vit Krejci, and Theo Maledon. So we went from reasonable, at least, to say you're without SGA to complaining that
SGA
you lost.
SGA is notable.
Complaining that you lost by 73 because you didn't have Aaron Wiggins and Vit Krejci on the floor.
Yeah, see, that's, yeah.
I legit don't know who Aaron Wiggins is.
I don't know who that is. I don't know.
Over the last
here's a fun note from the game. So I'm looking at the plus minus for each player. We have
any pluses Anthony Melton.
Let me check. First, the biggest pluses on the Grizzlies. We have D'Anthony Melton with a plus 46 in 22 minutes played. Then we have Aldama with a plus 52 in 28 minutes played.
Wow.
No pluses on the Thunder. But we do have a minus 56 in 24 minutes played by Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
Poor guy. He went from being on some of the best college basketball teams of all time to losing by 73 and personally getting outscored by 56.
Oh, boy.
I can't get that anymore. The Grizzlies bench outscored the entire Thunder team.
Wow.
If you took away the starters, they still won.
They were without Vit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that Vit and Aaron Wiggins are both two-way players. And this guy said they were down 36 at halftime because they didn't have their two-way guys on the floor. But to his credit, I've just noticed his follow-up tweet where he says, people coming back to this tweet after the loss, this tweet was made when we were down 36. This isn't an excuse for 73. Bro, 73 is like exactly what happens if almost exactly what happens if you lose two halves by 36 each.
Yeah.
72? Yes. 73? No.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Aaron Wiggins would not have made up the 73-point gap.
Let's see. What else is happening right now? Nothing.
That's actually the
Ennis Freedom
as we speak with a giant.
Oh yeah, they took the signage off yesterday, and people are so mad. My brother said he saw a tweet that said, "What would Kobe think of this?"
Mark tweeted like, "I'm crying right now" or something. I was like, "Come on, man!"
Ignoring everything else about that Kobe take, the absolute funniest part is pretending like Kobe wouldn't be a crypto guy.
He'd
1,000,000,000% be an investor in whatever this crypto.com. Like
he'd be in that commercial instead of Matt Damon for
Yes, it would.
Bravery favors the bold or whatever he says.
The amount of NFTs that
and then all of a sudden it's like crypto.com.
And their company name would be spelled with a K because he worked with them.
Yeah.
No, my gosh. I hate this. I saw a tweet too that like when the signage was being taken off and it was like the end of an era and it was just like Kobe's ghost, like doing highlight plays on a court in an empty arena, and it's like it's still the same court. It's
check this out. They should have renamed it Kobe Abina for Kobe Bean Bryant.
No. No.
I got a good one for y'all. Speaking of Lakers history, I believe we've got Celtics Lakers tonight. Is that right?
It's happening right now. The epic Ennis Freedom LeBron James matchup, where Ennis has not been into the game yet, and there's a minute left in the first.
So this got tweeted earlier. All time, this was by Spectrum Sportsnet. Lakers versus Celtics. Which all-time starting five squad are you taking? All-time starting five for Celtics and Lakers. Here are your options. You can choose one of these two teams, whichever one you think is better. The Celtics. Bob Cousy. John Havlicek. Paul Pierce. Larry Bird. And Bill Russell. The Lakers. Magic Johnson. Kobe Bryant. LeBron James. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And Shaq.
Okay, well,
which team do you got?
I'm gonna take the one with four of the top six point scorers of all time. Yeah, whatever.
I stared at this so long and was like, did they just pick a really shitty team for Boston, or is this really the best all time team they can put together? Because that's disgusting.
Bob Cousy would die on the floor getting matched up with Magic.
He would have a heart attack.
It's like Pierce is matched up with LeBron. Bro, we saw those dudes play against each other. We know how much better LeBron is.
Yeah. Oh, man.
There are.
I was half expecting to hear Antoine Walker's name come up on the Celtics roster.
Larry
how
Bird
much
is...
would be happening in that matchup that, like, one guy would shit himself, and it's not the older white guys?
Larry Bird.
Paul Pierce.
Larry Bird is guarding Kareem in this matchup.
Kareem's at the four.
Absurd. The Celtics' best player is Larry Bird, who is unbelievable. But legit, the Lakers have three players better than him and one other who is really close.
Yeah.
And then they got Kobe. Yeah. I want to be clear for anyone listening to this. I'm not gassing up. Shaq is the one close, and LeBron, Kareem, and Magic are the ones who are better.
That's fair. That's true.
Speaking of Lakers history, we got James Worthy.
Oh.
Big game, James, baby.
Amazing. That's like a nice looking card.
This is a college basketball take for you, but one of the things I've discovered in recent times is that Hubert Davis, I'd be really impressed if Joe had a Hubert Davis card. Now the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, is basically the most optimistic and praising coach that's ever existed. And I thought of this because I saw a big game James there. Hubert said the other day that we have two first-year players, Dontrezz Stiles and DeMarco Dunn, who came in as they were both ranked in the 60s overall in their recruiting class. Four stars, ranked in the 60s. Definitely hope they'll be good over the course of their careers. Hubert said that he told them that they will be the best players to ever go to North Carolina.
Wow.
So there you have it, folks. We have two first years at UNC, DeMarco Dunn and Dontrezz Stiles, who are going to be better than Big Game James.
Pretty big. Congratulations. So I'm excited for you.
You got to assume that's going to mean four consecutive titles.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No doubt.
I was really pleased that James kept his spot in that he stayed on the top 75 list. Because I know on, like, the top 50 list, he was, like, number 50. So when they released 75, I was really worried he was going to get lopped off. But my guy's still there.
Maybe he was the one that got tied with someone.
Maybe I wonder what his career would have looked like if he wasn't playing basketball with Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
I do have a couple other cards to catch up on that we mentioned earlier. We got our boy Yao Ming.
Oh, absolutely.
Ooh. Yeah.
Look, not a skinny guy.
No. Nope. Not at all.
We're not talking about here.
Doesn't have his height and weight on this card.
Mm.
So I can't verify anything. I might have another one in here somewhere. We got our boy, friend of the show, Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh yeah.
Looking mighty fine above the rim there.
If you ever need to remember that Yao Ming was not a skinny man, you can see the pictures of him with Shaq, where he not only is he much taller, but he's also wider than he is.
Yeah.
And finally,
Shaq was big. Shaq was wide.
This is Kobe Bryant in high school.
Wow.
Philadelphia Kobe.
Lower Marion Kobe Bryant. That might be worth a bit. I'm not sure.
I would imagine.
That one.
Might want to look that up.
If there are any card collectors watching, it is available.
If Joe's not with us next week, it's because he found the value of that card, became a millionaire, and quit the pod game.
That's right. And invested in crypto.com.
Yes, like Kobe would have wanted.
Yeah. What would he think of this?
What would Kobe Bryant think about this? That's so good. I saw, what was it? Speaking of...
he'd be the one to care the least.
What's the old dude's name? Chris Martin Palmer? The insane guy? Dropped this, like, wild tweet about Mike Vick. Like, he's a sociopath. He, like, deserves to be in hell, all that sort of stuff. And I just saw a bunch of people replying to him with a screenshot of his pinned tweet, which was just like, wow, it still doesn't feel real. RIP, like, beloved Kobe. And I was like, wow, I think we've, interestingly enough, figured out where you draw the line on who matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, man. But
that's true for a ton of people with Mike Vick. That's always been the case.
Did you guys hear there's a new rapper in the NBA? There's a new rapper. James Wiseman is rapping on SoundCloud.
Oh.
I don't know if he's rap play that.
Wiseman?
I don't remember.
I feel like that hurts the Warriors' chances at a title, just because I assume anytime anyone on an NBA team starts rapping, their team gets worse.
Mm.
Yep.
I mean, to be fair, he's not playing.
The second he comes back, he doesn't give up.
The second he comes back, it's bad.
That's like starting your rap career in the NBA is roughly the equivalent of, not the equivalent, sorry. It's like the lesser version of taking that picture that the Indiana Pacers took back in the day. Just by itself, it just kind of tanks the team. It's been the problem. It's the actual problem with the Trailblazers all these years.
Yeah. I wonder if I can find the lyrics. I cannot. If I search James Wiseman lyrics, it just comes up with James Blunt song, Wiseman. I did listen. I listened to two songs, and they're pretty forgettable.
Okay.
As most NBA rappers go. But he does have a song about saying that it's pretty much a lot about rolling up. Rolling up the gas. And I'm like, I was thinking, like, it's kind of crazy that, like, NBA players can rap about that more openly now, about rolling up the gas in just weed in general, because they're not, the league's not testing anymore, right? Like, at least the last two seasons, the league has stopped testing for weed, and they kind of, like, we don't care anymore. So I wonder if we're going to see more NBA players actually, like, talking about smoking? Probably not. James Wiseman also had a lyric about while he was out working, you were playing sports, and I was just like, your work is playing sports, so that doesn't hold up either. So I don't know.
That's incredible.
I don't, I don't know.
James Wiseman has a side hustle where he is a he's in marketing for a small tech company.
Mm.
His real work is sending a lot of emails. That's his true passion.
Okay. Do we have anything else? Anything else for this week? Is that about it?
Charles Barkley just called out Anthony Davis today as the problem with the Lakers.
Street clothes, Anthony Davis. as he called him.
I honestly found his points compelling. There we go.
What was his point? Oh, perfect. That is nice looking card.
It's a sticker.
Oh,
amazing. Amazing.
Charles Barkley
rebound.
So what did he say?
It was basically the idea that, like, we all know the Lakers, like, rosters, like, the Russ trade was stupid. Like, LeBron's been missing games and stuff. The roster's pretty dumb. But, like, their whole path to being, like, a decent team, it's just basically a path on Anthony Davis needs to be a near MVP level player. And he's not at all. Like, he's been really bad. The team's been awful with him on defense. He's just like, it reminds me of, I saw somebody after it came out making fun of the take where, I forget who added, it was a terrible take. It was Anthony Davis's agent, Rich Paul, said that if you put AD on Bucks, they still win the title last year. And it's like, no, like, what's becoming clear is just how much dude is not a number one option in the league, which is really, like I said, the Lakers have done a crap job of managing the team, but I think in their head, Anthony Davis was a number one guy.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of people are saying,
I mean, a couple of years ago, everybody thought he was a top five NBA player and, like, only going up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like, no, legit. At the beginning of last year, it was still a lot of people still thought it was a hot take to think that Giannis was better than AD. And it's like, right now, I think I saw this from a previously mentioned friend of the show, Adam Davis, but I don't know if he's been a top 10 player this year.
No, probably.
There's no way that team survives without him being a top, like, five level player. Like, he needs to be an actual MVP candidate for the Lakers to be that good, and he's
not. I think there was this idea too of, like, you know, they had some rough seasons. They did win a title, but they've had some rough seasons also, and I think it's like, well, if we get 80 more help, then, you know, they'll help balance the load out a bit. But it's more of like, no, you get him more help, and then he still plays 100%. Because it feels very much like, okay, he has the help now, he doesn't have to do it all. But what if he did do it all, and you had all this?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting more of the, and I don't know, this is all just speculation, but the longer it goes, the more I get the vibe where, and I don't mean this as a slam against someone's character, I really don't care about this, but I just kind of get the vibe that Anthony Davis doesn't really care about basketball that much.
Yeah, like, it's like, did you want to go to LA for LA or for the basketball?
Because this team really is, like, the whole pitch was you come and you become the number one option as LeBron gets older, and you carry the team night in and night out. And he just kind of doesn't, and I don't see a real reason why he can't. So it just leads me to believe he doesn't really feel like it, which, again, it's not like a character slam anyway. I don't care how much, like, you live, breathe, and die basketball, but it doesn't seem like he has that much want to.
Yeah, or, like, is he enjoying it right now?
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone on the Lakers is enjoying basketball
now. Sure don't seem like it.
Even Wiggins is enjoying basketball right now.
Yeah, right. Well, see, that's what everyone enjoys basketball when they play with Steph, except for Kevin Durant.
Aaron Wiggins or Andrew.
Definitely not Aaron Wiggins.
OKC Thunder superstar Aaron Wiggins.
Finding his confidence.
who can play in the league for a maximum of 45 days this year.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's loving it. Well, guess running a little long, so we could wrap this now. We'll be back next week, right? I don't think we have anything else in the way. So next week, probably back Wednesday again.
By the time we're back, I think this man's shooting record will be no more.
Oh, Ray Allen card alert. That's nice. That's nice too. You got some good looking, aesthetically pleasing cards.
Thank you. Does Steph Curry make 16 threes in his next game?
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Does he attempt more than 16 that would give him a chance to, do you think?
He better. Everyone on the Lakers is canceled if he doesn't. Lakers. Well, the Lakers too. Screw them. Everyone on the Warriors is canceled if Steph doesn't at least try 16 threes.
Okay.
Who do they play next?
I think he puts up 20 and makes 10 or 11.
Tomorrow, Wednesday, they play the Trailblazers.
I will be watching.
I hope
that's why we recorded this tonight.
If Steph breaks,
maybe we'll do an emergency Twitter Spaces podcast. It's getting close.
Yeah.
If Steph breaks it versus the Blazers, they have to blow up the team.
Maybe.
Okay.
If any of us are free at like halftime of that game, we'll do a little check in.
I will be begging my girlfriend to let me watch that. Because we might be together that night. Please.
We'll keep you updated if it's even remotely close to happening.
Okay.
I think the chances are slim, obviously, that he gets 15 in a game. But he's aware of it, and he's like, yeah, I know that's Clay's record I could break, and yeah, I know that, I'm aware of it. is basically what he said in his press conference. Well, it's just funny.
And if that game starts off hot, his teammates are going to be trying to make him do it.
Oh, God, they're just going to feed him. I'm praying he hits, like, four or five in the first quarter.
Right, because that's how they do it with Clay, is they're like, you should get that record. We're going to make you.
Yeah.
And I need the Blazers to lose comfortably, but not by so much that he leaves the game early. But it can't be so close that they're trying to play perfect basketball. And if it's a tie game, they're going to just try to win. I need them to. Right. I need the Blazers to be like down by like 13 the whole time.
That's going
to
be tough though, because they're without Dame and CJ.
It's going to be a blowout.
We're going to need a good game from Anfernee Simmons. We need an Anfernee Simmons game as well.
Maybe Steph can help keep it close by attempting 35-3.
A Gary Trent Jr. game is happening, folks.
Right. He plays for the Raptors.
Steph just starts shooting. If Steph shoots like Westbrook, it'll be okay.
I'm not misremembering that. Okay.
No, yeah. Okay. He got moved from that's where he went after the Blazers.
I cannot remember the last time I actively watched the Blazers, so my memory failed me that time.
Fair. That's fair.
The next time will be tomorrow.
I already showed the Arvydas Sabonis card. I don't have any other. And the Rasheed Wallace. I don't have any other Blazers cards handy.
We got to get you a Blazers Zach Randolph.
Wait a minute.
Oh boy, here it is. Here we go.
Going to close Joe's it out.
Looking for a card.
I've got a Blazers Jermaine O'Neal. How about that?
Okay.
I think I do have a Randolph in here somewhere. Maybe next week I'll find it.
Excellent. I was going to say, the speed at which you pull these out is phenomenal.
So I've got one big row that's basketball. The rest is I can ignore because it's other sports. So I've been flipping through when I have time. I'll organize more in the future, and then it'll be even quicker.
Here, I'll give you as a parting note, I'll give you a couple of college basketball statistics to remind all of our listeners why they watch the NBA. Two games I've had on tonight. One was Texas Tech Tennessee. That game ended in overtime with a final score of 49-44. And this game is Villanova versus Syracuse. Syracuse, if anyone is familiar at all with college basketball, you'll be aware, plays the 2-3 zone. Syracuse is 4 of 8 on 3-point attempts at halftime, and Villanova is 5 of 28.
Oh,
That is how you beat or lose to a 2-3 zone.
They are just about tied. So it's totally up in the air. This team is on pace to shoot about 60 threes and make 10 in one game.
A real Westbrook game.
Yes.
49-44 sounds like a Wisconsin Badgers game.
Yeah, in overtime. Incredible.
But the Badgers have a couple really good scorers now. Johnny Davis. Keep an eye on
him. He's like, Davis. He's one of the top scorers in the country.
He's pretty awesome. He's a sophomore. He's from La Crosse, Wisconsin, and he home of Bronson Koenig. Shout out Bronson.
Okay.
Former Bucks Summer League two-way contract holder. Get that man a ring. No, don't do that.
Here's my parting gift. Okay. Here's my parting gift. My little thinker before Joe goes insane.
Too late.
He handed out rings to everyone. Well, I'm sure we will link this as well. Let me bookmark it really quick. Enes Kanter working overtime for every three-letter organization in the U.S. except NBA. tweets at Joel Shavik.
Excellent.
And that is that. So, yeah, we'll be back next week. And probably back normal time, normal day, blah, blah, blah. Most importantly, you need to remember that we love you.
Thank you very much.